All right, welcome to the post-game live episode of The Independent following Notre Dame's 48-20 victory over USC. Matt, I think we talked about during the week that like this game really could have gone a million different ways. And this was like one of the outliers that Notre Dame would score on offense, score on defense, score on special teams, first time since the Wisconsin game. Field storming at the end. Sort of the Marcus Freeman scenes in the tunnel, reminiscent of Clemson last year. I think most importantly, there was a real, or more significantly, I should say, like a real acknowledgement of like the pressure this program was under over the last 7 days after Louisville. And you could sense such a relief for both Freeman, Sam Hartman, everybody associated with Notre Dame football tonight by, you know, the blowout of USC going into a bye week. Really changes the tenor of what's left for Notre Dame the rest of the season.
Yeah, Pete. I mean, I don't know how else to say it other than, boy, did that feel like cathartic? Did they need that? I mean, the way you started the show just now is kind of the way I feel like we start a lot of these shows. Hey, we saw this game going a lot of ways, but not this way. And this would go right under that one. I mean, you know, I remember last year going to the Clemson game. I'm like, yeah, Notre Dame might be able to beat Clemson. I just don't know what the path to victory is. Clemson's undefeated. They've had some close calls, yada, yada, yada. And similar to USC here, obviously Notre Dame being the favorite gave you some confidence they could win. But you couldn't get into a shootout. You couldn't let Caleb Williams and that USC offense get untracked. And even the vibe, I mean, talk about a compare and contrast. You know, if Ohio State was, you know, a day-long party and celebration followed by a boom punch in the face that just knocked everyone out cold, this was almost the opposite. You know, it's a night game. It's fun. It was a great crowd. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I saw plenty of fans and listeners out in the tailgate lots pregame. I'm sure you did as well. And all of them were, how badly are we going to lose today? What kind of chance do we actually have here? Why does Vegas have us favored? Like, is Freeman the right guy? Is he not? And I get it. Like, you know, last week and really, I think, made those valid questions, and frankly, seeing what happened to Louisville tonight, as Sam Hartman himself said, makes it make kind of even less sense. But boy, I mean, from the get-go here, Xavier Watts, my God, I can't remember a game where a single defensive player had the kind of impact all around.
You weren't around for Maurice Crum against UCLA in 2007, Matt, I guess.
Yeah, that 3-9, yeah, that against that UCLA
doesn't count.
No, not when it's undefeated USC and you're going in the bye week with a tons of questions around your program. I mean, it was everything, right? I mean, it was pretty dominant from start to finish. Now, the offense, I wouldn't go so far as say like, oh, all their problems are solved, but they definitely needed something to feel good about themselves. They needed some big plays. They got them. The running game moved the chains, and Audric Estime looked like his old self today, and all that is good and well. You know, outside of that third quarter USC touchdown that cut it, I think, to 24-13 at the time, and you could start to feel a little bit of tension in the building. That was really it. I mean, Caleb Williams, God bless him. He's going to be the number one pick. There were probably a half dozen NFL GMs here for a reason. They could not have liked what they saw tonight. I mean, the guy made a lot of bad decisions. He was under a lot of pressure, but it was the worst game he's ever played easily. And Notre Dame had a lot to do with that. It was just a you know, I thought last week I may have exhausted my eligibility as far as giving this defense enough credit. And then they went out there tonight and just absolutely, at the very least, cost this guy the Heisman. I don't think he was going to repeat anyway. I think there was a lot between now and the end of the year, but he's not going to win now. No Heisman winner, I think, has ever had a game like this. And Sam Hartman, even after the game, he goes, I guess I owe Al Golden another Ferrari. And even when Sam Hartman gave the interview on the field post game, he went out of his way to praise the defense again. I mean, it was, you get down on the field. We got on the field with 5 minutes left, which I believe was right before USC, you know, missed a fourth down conversion. And we saw quite a lot in those final 5 minutes for a game that was never in doubt between the Watts return, Watts forcing a fumble, seeing USC put their backups in. It was a lot. And the game ends, and I see Sean Crawford down wearing a media pass. And, hey, Sean, good to see you. And he goes, what the hell are we storming the field for? And I go, what are you talking about? I turn around, and there's like maybe a dozen people. I'm like, okay. And then it became like a slow gathering. And it wasn't like – I never see this field storm like that where It wasn't like a mad rush. It wasn't chaotic. It wasn't just the students. Like, if you look at the median age of the people who are on the field post game, it might've been like 45, 50. I mean, I saw,
I heard an usher scold somebody jokingly, like, "You're too old to be down here."
I saw one woman who, God bless her soul, was probably weighing more than me and you combined, make the jump off the top, barely land, shake herself up, and get back up. And this woman was not a student either. So it was really funny. It was just like, oh, okay, this is different. And it was very peaceful. You know, Clemson, for example, invites everyone onto the field after the game, and it's always peaceful. It's not your traditional field storm. This felt a little bit like that, because it was just like, hey, we're on the field. Let's hang out. Let's give high fives. And I didn't even see any like USC got out of there real quick, but I didn't even see any like trash talk, dangerous, you know, in your face situations. It was a fun time for all to be had. I know plenty of people on social media and probably some Irish fans who weren't here tonight have their thoughts about field storming. I'm like not the fun police. Like, if you wanted to look at all the dumb stuff I did in college, and still as a post-college graduate, in the case of a lot of people on the field tonight, I don't throw stones from glass houses. Have your fun. It's college football. You only get 12 of these, and you only get 6 or 7 of these in this building a year. Soak it up. And I thought that was, independent of the field storm, me and you had a great view of like the tunnel when Marcus Freeman came out of the locker room. And we saw it last year with Clemson, and that was cathartic in its own right, because this was a first year coach still learning on the job who had yet to have that big skin on his wall. This was different because I'm sure a lot of the same people who were chanting his name were asking before this game if he was right for this job, and had serious questions about him coming out of last week. And to see him embrace that, I just think it's cool, right? I don't know. I mean, he's not the only coach who does it, but certainly his predecessors here have not been like that. Certainly a lot of coaches, even Lincoln Riley, for as, you know, flashy as he is with at least the way his team plays, you know, I don't know if he's got that lovey-dovey relationship with the USC fan base. It's cool to see. I mean, I couldn't hear anything of the post-game press conferences because Freeman was talking, Sam Hartman was coming out, and he was getting mobbed by the fans. And when Hartman was coming in, Freeman was going out, and he was getting mobbed by the fans. So it was a really cool scene. It was not a scene I expected to see at all. It was not a game I expected to see at all. I certainly thought Notre Dame was capable of winning this game. But if you told me the highlight for USC would have been Alex Grinch's defense, not what I expected, especially in a loss like this.
Dominant performance from Alex Grinch's defense, holding them to 250 yards. But I just think like, what this season needed was some soul to it. And tonight let Notre Dame sort of have some. This is like, that's what the field storming is, like a collective memory for this fan base and this stadium tonight that you can hold on to for the, like, whenever the season ends, you will still have like what happened tonight to hold on to. And that's really important in college football. You have to have those moments. This isn't like, I mean, that's one of the things that makes college football great. It's like, you just never know when moments like this are going to come. And when they do, you have to like wring them dry for all they're worth. And I think that was part of the reason Notre Dame's fan base was down on the field tonight. It's like, Hartman finished 13 of 20 for 126 yards. And like, to get into the game itself a little bit, like right before he hit Chris Tyree for that 46-yard touchdown, I kind of felt like I was watching like a fully bearded Drew Pine in some ways. Like, the game plan just didn't, it was not letting the Hartman of the first 4 weeks come out at all. He has been very limited, Ohio State, Duke, Louisville, and then tonight. And I just thought that was such a big moment for him, for Tyree, just for the tenor of the game, where you felt like, all right, Notre Dame's offense can do something. It's not just along for the ride. This isn't like a flashier, more glitzy Iowa here. Like, they can contribute to the win. And I just thought that was such a big moment in the game, like even bigger than Jadarian Price's 99-yard kickoff return that really, really put it away. But I thought, you know, Hartman was, I thought, very introspective post game. Cause I don't think he's been very reluctant to sort of say, compare Notre Dame and Wake Forest and, you know, what it means there and what it means here. But there was no doubt he caught like the business end of what Notre Dame football is in the last 8 days, where the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, and it friggin' matters here in a way that it doesn't in a lot of other places. And I thought ultimately he handled himself really well on the other side of it.
Yeah, he had a very, it was nice to hear from him. He had a very good post-game press conference where he said that he's like, not that to compare it to other places, but yeah, to have a win like that and to have people chanting your name. And I mean, to give you a sense of the Sam Hartman effect, the biggest roar, at least when we were on the field, was when they show him on the sideline just smiling and the student section is going crazy. And you could tell he's like embarrassed beyond belief by that. And then they're cheering his name coming on. And to take it a step further back, Tuesday I was here for a soccer game. My youngest brother plays at Oberlin. They played against Notre Dame. And he's not a big college football fan by any stretch of imagination, but he's walking around campus. Oh, this is so cool compared to D3, yada, yada, yada. And he goes, their quarterback's that really handsome guy, right? Yeah. This is my straight college age brother. I'm like, yeah, I guess even people in suburban Cleveland who have no dog in the fight with Notre Dame football know him as that. Straight males who have no dog in the fight with Notre Dame football know him as that. But even he talked about working out, I thought, forget what the Irish something, some offseason program he did, you know, through Notre Dame,
where they went out to California,
where they're out in LA. And I remember
meeting Jimmy Clausen, you know, and like going to train there after the draft, and like, you know, he can walk a little bit taller when he's in LA because like he beat USC. Like it was a very striking embrace of all things Notre Dame. Like when he's talking about like, if I'm fortunate to have kids to bring them back and maybe see a highlight of me from this game, like,
and then he said,
that was wild.
He goes, met Joe Montana, which was right here, right below winning the actual game against USC. Yeah. It was introspective. It was refreshing to hear. Cause frankly, I think a lot of people run away from situations like this and from moments like this, and Notre Dame, after the way they played last week, I don't think anyone would have been shocked if they came out and had a dud today. And if they did, again, I said this repeatedly throughout the week, I thought this was the most crucial game of the Marcus Freeman era for that reason. The alternative to tonight is really hard to think about, especially when you see how great everything is right now and how good everyone feels going into the bye week. And, you know, how good everyone feels knowing that, you know, every game's winnable or losable, especially in this college football season. But, you know, you make a New Year's Six game, you win a New Year's Six game, which you haven't done in 30 plus years. Hey, like, we're playing for something now. Yeah. All that's out the window if they lose this game. And for it to happen in the fashion it did, offensive touchdowns, defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns, a dominant win over an undefeated rival. Again, I thought it was a very flawed USC team. I thought Caleb Williams made up for a lot of flaws, and tonight he was, fortunately enough, the biggest flaw for them tonight. And when he's not going, I don't think that team has a chance. And it'll be interesting to see that team and that program. Look, Lincoln Riley is a QB maven. He'll find someone really good next year, whether it's a guy on the roster or a guy from the portal.
Once they get this Heisman Trophy winner out of here, then they can get somebody really good in.
I'm saying it's going to be tough for them next year when they're playing. You know, they play at Notre Dame every other year in October when the weather's not great. They're in the Big Ten next year. They're playing a game like this at least twice a year. Sometimes these teams will be better than this Notre Dame team. Sometimes they'll be worse. But you know what? Iowa City's no picnic either at night in October or November, regardless of how bad Iowa's playing on that side of the ball. So I just think it's going to be – I wouldn't call it a blown opportunity for USC because, again, I really don't think they're all that great. And I think, you know, Oregon, Washington, Utah, all these teams got a really good chance to beat them. But that in no way, shape, or form takes away from what Notre Dame did tonight. Just a dominant performance when really everything was stacked against them coming into this game. It was refreshing to see them get off the mat. I think you asked the question, what was the phrase Marcus Freeman was using all week?
Anti-fragile program.
Yes.
I never heard about that. Yeah, he said, I asked him, because like the stress on the coaching staff this week, I think, was intense. And the players too, but like the coaches really have been taking the brunt, I think, of the last couple weeks, and understandably so. But he talked about on Monday, he said, I challenged our team to be an anti-fragile program. And I asked a couple of players, like, all right, what does that actually mean? And it's another way to, you know, deal with adversity and sort of feed on it a little bit, opposed to being eaten up by it. And that's, you know, pretty important distinction to make. But yeah, I just think that after last week, they were a no-show in some departments at Louisville.
Which, again, I don't want to harp, but Louisville got smoked by a terrible Pittsburgh team tonight.
Yeah.
Smoked. Like, it just,
I don't understand that at all.
Even Hartman in his post-game press conference, he's like, I think they lost tonight, right? And someone was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah. All right, well, I guess he said something
that takes the luster off that. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, we talked about this during the week. Like, what was going to happen tonight may feel totally random, both in terms of what came before it and what will come after it. And I think you have to sort of, like, if you want to plug this result into the rest of the season or the matrix of all 12 games, like, this was a really random performance. You're not going to be +5 in turnovers every week. I mean, they scored 48 points and had 251 yards of offense.
+5 a week after going -5.
Yeah, that's insane. -4 last week.
-4, sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, really, USC also had a turnover on downs. Like, that should count as a turnover as well. It doesn't, but, you know, in some ways that's -6. J.D. Bertrand blew that up, perfectly. It was just, some of the things are random tonight. And, like, you're not going to win with a kickoff return touchdown and a defense touchdown and turnover night after night. Like, they had 11 sacks on the season and they had 6 tonight. That makes no sense. But I do think what can travel forward, you know, Pittsburgh, Clemson, Wake, Stanford, is where they are defensively under Al Golden. I think still, maybe after tonight it will, but before tonight, I don't think that, like, the Notre Dame fan base had enough respect and admiration for the job Golden has done. I'm sure in my mentions, your mentions, message boards, Twitter, whatever, like, there are people like, get, you know, Golden, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, that guy has been phenomenal over the course of Marcus Freeman's, I think, 21 games of Marcus's 22.
Right.
Golden has been the DC. They've played winning football on defense really in all but 1.5 of them. Like, they weren't great last week at Louisville, but they were put in some terrible positions.
They weren't bad. Yeah, I cannot get on them for last week.
Yeah, just like, I wouldn't say last week was great. They were bad at USC last year. The rest of the time, like, the defense is good enough to win every other damn game they played.
They were more than good enough. And it's funny, like, this game was almost like, obviously turnover-wise, it was the reverse of last week, but, like, in the same way you didn't really notice Louisville's offense last week, you didn't really notice Notre Dame's this week. Again, Jawar Jordan had 2 big plays for them last week. Notre Dame had the Chris Tyree deep touchdown pass, and, like, they played well, don't get me wrong, but if I told you before the game, USC is going to outgain Notre Dame by 51 yards, they're going to run 25 more plays. Notre Dame's offense ran 49 plays tonight.
It's insane.
I we'll have to, like, look back and see the context of, like, when they've had a game where they,
I think at Ohio State to start last year, they ran under 50 plays, if I'm not mistaken. But they looked like a team who ran under 50 plays tonight. You would have thought they ran 77 plays.
They were 3 of 10 on third down.
Yeah. 251 yards, 3 of 10 on third. Like, at halftime, I feel like the sentiment around the offense was like, that's it. I'm out on Jared Parker and just, like, what's going on here? And, like, it all came down to that. You know, I mentioned it earlier and I asked Sam Hartman about it afterwards. He went on a long answer about Chris Tyree and sort of his resolve through his four years here. Like, that up until that moment, it felt like Notre Dame's offense was just, it had not kicked on from the last 3 weeks. Ultimately, the end, like, they scored 28 points off turnovers. I mean, that is an insane figure. But you got to give them the credit. They took advantage of the opportunities they were presented with. You know, Jabron Bain touchdown out of the gate. I thought that was so critical to, like, reset the mood a little bit here.
Yeah, it was as big as the block punt against Clemson, but I got the exact same feeling.
Yeah, that I did it was just last like. Year. I mean, it was the same. You reference it on the walk up to the game, and I felt the same way because people were telling me, like, there was like a lot of side eye, leery, angsty. Yeah, I don't feel good about this at all. All of that. And I just think like that, boom, you're up 7-0 within 2 minutes. I think it was that quick, right? Like that was, that sort of just reset the mood for the entire night. And like, while USC like challenged Notre Dame and pushed Notre Dame a little bit, they never got to a point there where they, you felt like they were a play away from getting over the top and Notre Dame was going to have to overcome a deficit. That just, that moment never felt like it was coming tonight.
No. And to see Audric Estime have 95 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. And what do you have through the air? I know he caught at least not just four. So 99 total yards and 2 touchdowns. I just thought it was huge. I don't know if you caught our friend Tom Rinaldi's touching story on him. Big Noon kickoff. Really good. Watch it. Listeners, watch it after this. Well, tomorrow, hopefully you're
friend of the show
at a bar right now. Yeah, he is a friend of the show. Really good. Really good to see him go at it. Really, I hate to oversimplify it and say like the offense just got out of its own way, but they certainly got in their own way last week. And everything just seemed so much simpler tonight. They obviously didn't have a whole lot of pressure on them because of the way the defense and, you know, in the second half special teams played. But they just, it felt a lot easier for the offense tonight. And take it, you know, for what it's worth, USC's defense has not been particularly good this season. Now, they weren't terrible tonight. But to see Notre Dame get that push up front, to see them rush for 125 yards, an average over 4 yards per carry, to see them where they go 5 for 5 in the red zone, finishing drives, very, very important. And again, we can go under the hood and, you know, pick apart a lot of different statistical things and things they didn't do great that they need to improve on over the second half of the season. But I think this game more than any other was really emblematic of, you know, the fickle nature of college football season and just embracing all the good that comes your way. Cause obviously doesn't work that way every single week. Notre Dame has learned the hard way time after time. But this week, I mean, they just really, again, you know, the bye was part of why I thought this was such a big game, but they just really needed something to feel good about. And they got that tenfold tonight. It was a dominant performance. Again, I didn't, even on the field, I was looking around. Usually you can sense a field storm coming. This one I didn't. And it was kind of like a half-hearted one where everyone was just like, yeah, whatever, let's have fun.
Here we are, fall break, have a good time.
But the players embraced it. You know, Hartman gives a field interview. Blake Fisher's taking photos with his family. I saw a couple other players with younger siblings or maybe even kids walking around in their jerseys. Like, it was a moment that these guys really needed after last week, and they went out there and did the damn thing tonight.
Yeah, and shout out to Amaris Leofau for playing blocking fullback for me to get up the tunnel. I just followed him all the
rookie
way
up. Rookie move. I went right up the USC tunnel because they were long gone, and I was there before anyone.
One of the best parts of starting the Independent podcast was a chance to pick the brands we wanted to work with, and Rollback was at the top of my list. As the owner of multiple polos, hoodies, Q-zips, and shorts, I can tell you the quality, fit, and feel is unmatched. You've probably seen Rollback on Audric Estime, Kyle Hamilton, and Michael Mayer. Or maybe you saw the dozen Notre Dame fans wearing the Shamrock polo at the Central Michigan game last weekend. I can tell you I saw Rollback gear in Dublin earlier this year. While the gear hasn't made me quite that athletic as those Notre Dame football players, Rollback is my go-to on the golf course, heading to the lake, watching my kids' sports, or just walking the dog. So make sure you're comfortable throughout the season with Rollback. Use code IRISH for 20% off your first purchase. That's code IRISH for 20% off all hoodies, polos, Q-zips, and more.
Matt, what have you always said is my biggest weakness on fall Saturdays?
Well, Pete, I'd say your hair, but who am I to talk? Let's go with your wardrobe.
Harsh but fair.
ESQ outfits over 400 professional athletes, celebrities, and Irish players on game day with bespoke clothing that elevates their game off the field. ESQ sculpts every garment with precision, helping you look your best for work, weddings, celebrations, or in your case, Pete, the press box.
Listeners of The Independent can get 15% off their first online order by using the code IND15 at checkout. That's IND15, or visit them at their Chicago showroom for a full custom look. Head to esqclothing.com to create your perfect fit. Well, let me pull a couple questions out of the chat here, since this is a live show. And Chris Avila wanted to know, do you think there's still a problem with the offense? Things didn't exactly click tonight.
I don't know if I'd say there's a problem. Where's this question? I don't see it on Chris. What?
Yeah, I just pulled it up there. Chris Avila.
Okay. I wouldn't say, oh, there we go. I wouldn't say they didn't click. There wasn't any. I thought both teams were sloppy in the first half with some penalties, Notre Dame more so on the defensive side than they were offensive side. Do they have a problem? I wouldn't insert that word in after a game in which they beat their rival by 28 points. Now, were things perfect? No. Are there things they need to get better at? Certainly. No team embodies the chaotic, uneven, unpredictable nature of college football probably better than a Pat Narduzzi coach Pittsburgh team. And they decided to take that into overdrive with their performance today.
Yeah.
And they'll throw everything they got at Notre Dame in 2 weeks. So they definitely have to have their guard up and got to be on their P's and Q's for that one. I think problem's a harsh word to use after the performance they had tonight.
I would say they still have issues at wide receiver. Nothing's changed for that. But
that's not changing till there's a new team on the field next year.
The offensive line did change tonight. The offensive line had played poorly the last couple weeks. They could not pick up pressure at Duke or at Louisville. Sam Hartman was kind of running for his life last week, got hit a ton. Tonight, no sacks. I don't think they really even pressured him all that much. It may seem strange to say the offensive line played great since when they had 251 total yards. They averaged 4.3 yards per carry. That's not amazing. But I thought Hartman was comfortable in the pocket in a way that he has not been really the last 3 weeks. So that I think is significant. The offensive line, and Marcus Freeman mentioned it after the game, playing the, hey, the perception is you guys stink. And I'm like, and he was like, I'm not saying that, but people are saying that. I get a lot of questions about the stinkiness.
I love when reporters do that because they're too afraid to ask their own question. Yeah. Well, the fans are emailing me saying, why aren't you playing the backup more? It's ask a freaking question.
Yeah.
We got a credential for a reason.
Marcus leaned into that a little bit, sort of turned the knife, and the offensive line responded tonight. That group has been very up and down this season. But I guess
they have, but I just can't.
I get it. USC's defense is bad, but they were top 10 in the country in sacks per game. The one thing they do well is get pressure, and they didn't tonight at all. So I have to, the offensive line deserves credit for that. I'm not saying this is the 2017 line reincarnated. I'm just saying if they play as well as they did tonight, Notre Dame has a chance to win the final four games of the schedule.
They absolutely have a chance. They held up. It's not like they played poorly against Ohio State. Duke, by the way, just to lend some context to that game, because I think we're all still trying to process whether that was a good win or a lucky win. Riley Leonard did not play tonight for Duke against NC State. They finished tonight with 4 completions and they still won by 3 touchdowns. So Duke's really good, especially on defense, as we all know with Mike Elko. Ohio State is really freaking good on defense. Last week's the one that throws everything out of whack. And look, I don't want to be dismissive of Pat Coogan's knee or any of the injury concerns that were thrown out there after the fact. But you watched what the coaching staff decided to do with that line that game. And that's where you really, the question for me wasn't, are these guys good, even though they didn't play good? It was what was the staff doing with them? And why did you take something that wasn't broken and at least for that night, ruin it against a defense that was not very good. So I thought if they got out of their own way, so to speak, they would be fine against USC. I didn't think, or I shouldn't say I didn't think, I wasn't sure they'd play as clean as they did tonight. But it wasn't a concern for me in the sense of, all right, the part we thought that was going to be the strength of this team is now a huge liability, and that throws everything into chaos. I thought they were 5 really good players who play well together for the most part. And they were not really given that opportunity last week. And again, I'm sure the staff has the reasons that part of it, did not make sense in real time. And again, makes less and less sense the further you get away from it. But you know, when I heard Marcus Freeman say on Thursday, we don't plan on rotating again, I thought, okay, like that's encouraging to hear. And they didn't, and they played a pretty damn good game tonight.
Yeah. Also a reminder, if you're with us on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It helps with the visibility of the show and helps more people find out about the Independent. And you can post questions in the chat there. We'll try to get some of them into the show. I'm going to jump to the next one. It's Mike E. Deblis. I'm sure I've murdered your last name, but he wants to know, okay, guys, random performance, but what from tonight is sustainable?
Defense. Now, again, not going to force five turnovers every game, but the defense has been really freaking good all year long, and to see them do that against the best player in college football, at least until tonight, is really impressive. Especially, like, look, this isn't the first time the majority of this group faced Caleb Williams, and they did not fare particularly well against him last year. And that's not, I don't say that to be overly critical, because no one fared particularly well against Caleb Williams last year, and it's not like Notre Dame's offense did a whole lot to help the defense last year. But you know, you come away from a performance like that tonight on that side of the ball, and I don't know how you don't get excited about the rest of the schedule, right? Like, oh, again, it's not as simple as, oh, we did this to Caleb Williams, so we'll do it to Kay Klubnik, who we already did it to last year. But if you're the staff and you're the players, I mean, to give you a sense, Xavier Watts got asked about this postgame, and I completely forgot about it because he's so good, or at least was so good tonight. It's like, oh, yeah, like, what about that time you're a receiver and the coaching staff asked you to move? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a thing not that long ago. And even Xavier Watts was like, I just kind of rolled with it because the coaches asked me to do. Like, you could tell that was a diplomatic, like,
yeah, it's like, I didn't really want to do this. But
and then he goes out tonight and let me get the official box score of him, because, you know, we all saw it with our own two eyes. But 7 total tackles, 2 interceptions, 1 pass breakup, 1 forced fumble. And of course, at the end, you know, a fumble recovery return for a touchdown is the cherry on top. I mean, you're not going to see a performance like that from an individual on defense. No. You get those once a year from anyone. Ohio State got one last year against Penn State with JT. You know, it's just, it was a very, very special performance. And you know, obviously the guys up front played a big role in that, enforcing Caleb Williams into some of those throws. Mm-hmm. You know, Gabe Rubio, I think, had a tip on Watts' second interception that he almost returned.
Yeah, because I mean, that throw was getting picked either way, but like,
right,
Rubio took the steam
off. The first one Williams had on the first drive, he had his tight end open, but he did one of those across his body throws that he's gotten away with against like Colorado, but
yeah,
completely airmailed it here.
Kind of reminded me of Hartman's pick, his first pick last week at Louisville, where it was like a very experienced quarterback making a very casual throw with the mindset of like, you know what? We'll get him later. We'll get him later. It's no problem. Like, let's keep going. And like as Sam Hartman lived last week and Caleb Williams lived tonight, like that doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes like that's just, you're about to get got. And that's what happened to Caleb Williams tonight. So it's like the sustainability of like, the offensive line is in pass pro. That would be nice if it was sustainable. I think that the front set, like the entire defense, is very sustainable. Like Notre Dame's going to be a real pain in the ass to score on the rest of the season. You know, and they actually did a decent job at Louisville, but you know, they're put in some bad spots. So that, to me, that's by far the most sustainable thing tonight is the defense. Not 5 turnovers, but I think they're going to be really hard to get more than 3 touchdowns on for Pittsburgh, for Wake Forest, for Stanford. I guess we'll see at Clemson, you know, what that environment is like. But that would be number one for me in terms of sustainability. All right, we got a question from JLG. It's kind of a micro to this game itself, but it says, please comment on how open or not the tight ends and wide receivers were. Thanks. What, I don't know how much you watched the game that way, but there wasn't a ton of separation. You know,
other than the Tyree catch.
Yeah, I mean, the Tyree one was separation from a receiver. Like, they hit Rico Flores, caught a pass down the right sideline from where we were, but he was sort of running wide open. It wasn't like a separation issue. Like, for the most part, I think, you know, Notre Dame's receivers are what they are. They're not going to just blow you away with speed. Like Mitchell Evans, what did he finish with tonight? Like they tried to get him the ball. He had 4 targets, 2 catches, 13 yards. You know, and there was a play, I think it was the first drive of the second half, where Hartman really forced the ball to Evans when Holden Staves was open underneath. So it's tonight, like, I thought Hartman did a really nice job of spreading the ball around. Not perfect, but I wouldn't say that Notre Dame's receivers and tight ends were running wide open all over the place. USC seemed way more competent defensively than I was expecting. I have to give them some credit there.
It was by far the best part of their program tonight.
Yeah.
By far. And again, that's saying something about their program tonight, but yes, they were. You made a reference earlier to bearded Drew Pine, and I don't know how many times coming into this game we referenced, well, they won with Pine throwing for only 87 yards against Clemson last year. That's not possible. In the heat of the moment, I overlooked it. I'm looking at the box score now. Sam Hartman, 13 of 20, 126 yards.
Right.
Yeah. Like, okay, that's Jack Plummer-esque, by the way. Like, right. Literally almost identical to the way Louisville beat these guys last week. It was something, that's for sure. It really has been, will be 12. It has been 8, like almost one game seasons where, short of the defense,
yes,
it's a pick your kind of pick out of hat what kind of offensive performance you're going to get.
Yeah, it's like just a wheel of chance. And I think we talked about this probably in our midweek show. Like, did sort of feel like, I realize it's a 12 game season, one 12 game season. This one feels more like 12 one game seasons. When the first 4 seasons were pretty similar.
Xavier Watts, right, said, or was it Price who said, man, Ireland feels like it was a year ago.
Yeah. And I'm like, does it? I think that it does. I don't know. I just, like, the four, I do think, like, and the players are not going to go out and say, like, we're exhausted. Midterms are terrible. Like, I bombed my bio exam. Like, they're not going to come out and say that as, like, a reason they won or lost a game. But, I mean, Watts did talk about, like, yeah, his body's sore. Like, he feels beat up now. Needs some kind of a break. And I think that for them to come through midterms and this being the 8th game in 8 weeks, 4 straight ranked teams, 4 straight night games, like, I think to come out and be that much on your stuff defensively, like, it would be impressive anyway against Caleb Williams. But I think it's incredibly impressive to do that considering the dynamics of this season.
Just want to acknowledge a back and forth going on right now between Chicago's Finest and our favorite Catherine B. Chicago's Finest said, did Notre Dame's defense possibly let every NFL GM know that Caleb might not be the number one overall? And Catherine B. said, why do you want to know, Chicago's Finest? You got a vested interest, LOL. There were at least 2 regular Chicago Bears beat reporters here, one from The Athletic, Adam Johns. Ryan Poles, their GM, was here. The Buffalo Bills. I've never seen this many GMs. Like, there are scouts at every game. As far as, like, top decision makers of NFL franchises, I don't know if I've ever seen that many in this building for one game together. It was a lot, including, I don't know if you're classmates, but your fellow DePaul grad.
Overlapping Joe Shane. Attendees, not classmates.
There you go.
He was there when I was there. I'm sure that we were at Marv's together and some other. Perhaps other.
And look at that. You're doing a podcast with me, and he's overseeing my favorite NFL team, which sucked right now.
Yeah, so
I think we know who the real winner is in this, in that year's class. But it was, I remember, where was I? I was at Penn State Northwestern a couple weeks ago, and Ryan Poles was there, and I posted a picture, I tweeted a picture of him there. And that was the same time Caleb was going crazy against Colorado. They're both noon games. Mm-hmm. And every Bears fan is in my mention saying, why would he be there? Aside from the fact that it's literally a local game. He should be in Colorado watching Caleb right now. And I always wonder, and obviously these guys have forgotten more about the game of football than you and I will ever actually know. But I'm like, do you really need to, like, see Caleb Williams from the same level that me and you are sitting at right now to know whether he's a generational prospect or not? And again, if you're only basing that off tonight, he's not, because he played terrible tonight.
Right.
But it was such a, it had to be a letdown for those guys in the sense of everyone came to see this guy play. And I'm sure I'm not a USC beat reporter. I imagine every USC game is like this to some extent now when you've got a quarterback like that. But it was like they all packed up their bags and left in the third quarter because this one was over by then. And I just, of all the ways I saw this one unfolding, I did not see Caleb Williams being the biggest reason USC lost it. And again, Notre Dame's defense deserves a ton of credit for that.
Right.
But it definitely felt like the Chicago Bears beat writers brought some Bears juju with them into this building.
Yeah, there was definitely
sprinkled in over USC today.
Yeah, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby vibes from the Chicago Bears people on Caleb Williams. So Lincoln Riley, that's another thing he can be upset about. This is a question from Andrew Maz. It says, what can Jared Parker take from this victory and apply to the rest of the season? Feel like he adjusted well versus North Carolina State, but they failed to learn from the victory versus Duke.
Good question. And I don't know if there's a real answer there because your defense is not going to force five turnovers in every game. You're not going to play a defense that is as resistible, if you will, as USC's, which, by the way, the jokes wrote themselves on Twitter when their truck got pulled over this week. It's their equipment truck. I'm sure everyone listening saw it. If you haven't, they got pulled over. And as everyone said, their defensive driving course is about as good as their defense. But I don't know. I mean, it was, again, to further crystallize the fact that this game was kind of one big one-off. I don't know if there's anything you take away from this. You're not going to win most games with your star quarterback going 13-20. You could lean in that run game as much as you'd like. And I was happy to see them do it because I was among the biggest critics who thought they were not doing that enough. As far as what you take away from it, from Parker's end, again, I hate to oversimplify it and say, just get out of the way. Cause that's not his job. He's got to put these guys in position to succeed, but the coaching staff did not do that last week. I think Marcus Freeman, acknowledge that in so many ways post game tonight. And they did do that tonight. Whatever they did or didn't do from a workload standpoint behind the scenes last week, obviously was erroneous. Cause that looked like a team that saw a ghost last week at Louisville, and whatever they did do to get them up for this game, worked because they were ready to go from the get go. And again, Marcus Freeman said this, I want to say JD Bertrand said this as well. Someone else went up post game said this, when they got asked about like the momentum and the excitement of, whether it was a long kick return or a big defensive takeaway or something. And they kind of fell back on the coaching cliche of one play, one life. We're not really locked into that. That's great when you're reading that off your pre-prepared note card at a press conference. Yeah. Do not tell me for a second that you didn't feel the energy of this building. Because all the post game, like if that's true, Marcus Freeman's not damn near crowd surfing with the fans afterwards. Sam Hartman's not doing, I didn't know there was the equivalent of a horns down with USC.
Yeah.
The piece down.
I don't know.
I did see USC, UNC tonight. Tez Walker got a touchdown against Miami and went like that, which I also had never seen before. So there are all sorts of new ways to
have a good time with that. Yeah.
I mean, it's like you can't tell these are 18, 24 year old guys. And even if they're not, like, you cannot be affected positively or negative. You cannot be unaffected positively or negatively.
Yes.
By what happened tonight. You can't. There's no field storm if that's not true.
No, nobody is like, well, we just beat a nameless, faceless opponent. Yeah. Brian Kelly. Like, that's not true. But like, to get back to the Parker point, you know how many drives Notre Dame had tonight that were longer than 50 yards?
One. I'm guessing at it. Okay.
The one is correct.
All right.
They had one that was exactly 50. They had one that was 68. One that was 46. One that was 27. And then they had one that was 8, one that was 9, one that was 6, one was 3, one was 2, one was 4, one was 16, and one was 12. I feel like, and, if you're Jared Parker, I wouldn't say like it's get out of the way as much as like kind of do no harm. They did no harm tonight. Like, they weren't the reason they won the game, but they sure as hell weren't the reason they were going to lose it. And so it's like, Jared Parker tonight needed to just win, just be on the winning side. He didn't need to win the game. He needed to be part of the team that won it.
He's an assistant college football coach. Like, there's nothing, if he was the modern day Vince Lombardi on offense or the equivalent of that, it's not like he could have done anything in a single game tonight that would make everyone say, oh, he's our guy for the future. Like that's just not how it works. You play a bad game and you play the next game in front and you hope you play better. And then you do it again and again and again and you stack the W. So, you know, you stem the tide of negativity, which is the only way you can begin to get yourself out of this, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's like, what's the saying? Like, you can't, what's the first thing you should do? Or what's the, I don't even know what the saying is. Like, if you're stuck in a hole, what's the first thing you should stop digging? Like he stopped digging. Like, Jared Parker stopped digging his own hole tonight. And that now you have, like, some foundation of, like, hey, this worked. This is what good offensive line play looks like. Because I think you'd have to go back to their Power 5 games, including NC State. Like, the offensive line was not killing it at NC State. Like, that game was won on, like, some chunk plays. You know, the Estime 80-yard run. You had Chris Tyree, I think, had a big game. Tobias had a big game there. Like, this was a pretty clean performance from the offensive line compared to their other Power 5 games. But I thought they did a good job against Ohio State. Like, didn't dominate the night, but didn't lose it. Really struggled against Louisville and Duke. Really, really struggled. So I think that's probably something Parker can look at tonight and be like, all right, we won this part of the game, and the rest of it we just sort of, like, stayed in our lane, controlled the clock, played slow when we needed to. I don't think the number of plays or the yardage run, Jared Parker's probably going to spend a whole lot of time sweating either of those things.
One thing I do want to highlight tonight, because we keep saying how good the defense played, and certainly that's true. We thought coming into the year, the reason Notre Dame had a chance to be really special was, one, the quarterback play, and two, the fact that they had DBs who you didn't go into every big game thinking, let's just hang on for dear life. To see what those guys did, independent of the turnovers, to a USC receiving core that's still pretty freaking awesome. You know, the fourth guy on that roster on that depth chart would probably still be number one on Notre Dame's as it's currently constructed. They were phenomenal. Mario Williams, 5 catches for 28 yards. Taj Washington, 4 catches for 41 yards. Brendan Rice, 2 catches, 18 yards, one of which was a touchdown. Zachariah Branch, they, you know, outside of the long punt return, they kept him, you know, kind of neutral as a non-factor in the receiving game. Michael Jackson, the third, ended up being their leader with 51 yards and 6 catches. These are not, like, I think back to last year's USC game, and I just have the images of Mario Williams and Jordan Addison basically doing whatever they wanted.
Running, circling around. Yeah.
How many times, you know, we asked how many times the Notre Dame's receivers get separation tonight. How many times do USC's? Because that even with some of those really bad USC teams with interim head coaches that we've seen come through here, they've still got some guys on the outside who are good for a touchdown or two, and who you look at and think, damn, like, there's a top 10 pick. And they've got talent on this roster, this USC team, that receiver. But to see Notre Dame's defense do what they did, and when you kind of stack that on top of what they did to Marvin Harrison Jr. the last time around, it's a really, really special Irish secondary, and I think they deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah. This is kind of a question about the defense from Daniel Massoud. So 8 games down, 4 games first-ranked teams, really good defensive performances against Ohio State and USC. Where would you rank this defensive unit overall in college football? Do you think it's a top 10 defense?
Top 10, off the top of my head, I would say yes. It's hard not to say. It's hard to see what they've done against the competition they've had. And again, even in defeat last week where they were just holding them to quick field goals, it's hard to think there would be 10 units better than this one. Especially with the level of competition. Like, if you looked at, I don't know what everything that happened in the Ohio State game today, but there was a point, I think, coming into the day where the top 3 scoring defenses were some combination of Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. And they're all giving up less than 10 points per game. And I think in Michigan's case, they didn't even allow a play in the red zone before today. And that's dominant. I don't say outside of Ohio State, you know, Penn State and Michigan haven't played anyone, not to take away from them, but when your best opponent's Iowa, if you're Penn State, and your best opponent's Nebraska, if you're Michigan, that's not the same as Ohio State, Louisville, Duke, USC, et cetera. UCLA came into the night number 1 nationally in yards per play. And don't think that wasn't noticed by They're California, brother, USC.
Yep.
And they got beat. Excuse me. I'm trying to pull this up here. They got beat really badly, 36-24 at Oregon State. So the SEC is not what it was. The Big 12 is always about offense. Oregon had a great defense, but not today. Find me 10 better. I mean, I don't think you could.
No, it's, I mean, they're basically going to be right at the 10th line in yards per play allowed after tonight, which is crazy to think they would have improved after playing USC, but they went in tonight fourth in the country in pass efficiency defense. They come out of it having allowed 5 total touchdown passes against 9 interceptions. Like, if you're flipping the TD to INT ratio, there are only a hand, like, Michigan has done it, Penn State has done it, going into Ohio State has done it. Like, Notre Dame is right there with those groups. And I think that the secondary, I mean, DJ Brown made some plays tonight. Like, Ramon Henderson was matched up with Zachariah Branch a couple times. Like, in theory, that should be a huge win for USC, and Henderson made a couple plays. Like, Thomas Harper was back from concussion. That was significant tonight. Like, the secondary, I thought, was better than it's ever been this season, maybe last season too. Like, they have, I think we knew their two starting corners were elite guys. But that entire secondary tonight looked phenomenal. And it made USC's receivers look very, very average for a collection of high 4-star top 100 prospects. I was just very impressed.
4 straight comments from Russ Campbell. Notre Dame will be a 4-loss team again. Ha, ha, ha. Top 10. Ha, ha, ha. You guys will be a 4-loss team again. You just won your Super Bowl. Back to reality. Top 10. Ha, ha. I see all that say Russ Campbell is the name of Dabo Swinney's agent. I don't think that's Dabo Swinney's agent saying this ahead of the Clemson game
I was like, why is Fortuna giving Russ Campbell oxygen? Oh, it's because it's Dabo Swinney's agent.
Maybe they are. Right. Dabo's done that before. Remember, he voted Ohio State 13th before the playoff game, and that kind of backfired. I don't think that's happening here, but I think they're 11th in yards per play entering tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they got better than that. I think look
who's ahead of them. Air Force does not count. I'm sorry. God bless Air Force. Yeah. But, like, fair option point. Football is different. Ohio, that's the MAC. Iowa, okay. Iowa's really freaking good on that side of the ball, at least.
I mean, they held USC to 4.1 yards per play.
1 and 3 are UCLA and Oregon, ridiculous. Both of whom got lit up today. So, yeah, I would say.
USC was averaging 8.49 yards per play, and Notre Dame held them to, 4.1, which, if you just plug that into nationally, that would be 131st. I mean, that is an insane performance by Notre Dame's defense tonight to make the number one scoring offense in the country look worse than Iowa.
It's like, easy. Easy.
Very, very impressive.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of like what Colorado did to that USC defense, right? Like, not that USC's defense was great going into that game, but you knew when Colorado was able to run, which had the worst rushing offense of the country.
Yeah.
There were plays to be had here, and it's like, yeah, USC's winning, but, you know, Captain Caleb can only save them so much, and when that's not working, it's rough. They got Utah next. I mean, I know Utah's got their own issues at QB, but they single-handedly kept USC out of the playoff last year, and that's a tough opponent that matches up extremely well with the Trojans, so that one will be interesting.
Well, as for approach, it's about 1 o'clock, so we can wrap this up. But, like, does it change? Because I've talked a bunch about, like, tonight felt very random, and, like, some of it's sustainable, some of it's not. Like, does this change your perception of what Notre Dame can be the rest of the season?
Yes, because they won. Like, I don't. Yeah.
Like, does it make it any more or less likely that they're going to win out? Does it make it more?
Yeah, it definitely makes more it more or less
likely that, like, the season will, like, be fulfilling at the end of it.
There's only one answer to that question, though. Like, there has to be more, but
I agree. It's just like, I'm trying to get my head around the fact that a week ago, I think we were talking about, like, did Notre Dame just waste Sam Hartman? And now
you could still say that.
Yeah, you could. I don't. You definitely could.
I don't think that's like the headline of
120
tonight,
yards but... stat line tonight, but how do you feel like, I don't know, will Notre Dame go 10-2?
I say no, I just can't trust them to do this every week, but like they possibly could, which they couldn't have done without winning this game. And
are you a math major?
Clearly. The alternative, like you need to think about the alternative to not winning tonight. It would have been really freaking
I'd rather not.
It would have been really bad. And to win in the fashion they did. And you could still have that conversation. Did they waste a really good defense and Sam Hartman by essentially being eliminated from playoff contention the first weekend of October? And Michael, Dallas fan in DC, one Campbell, another Campbell, all caps, Notre Dame shut down Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley offense the same year. Yeah. When I read that, that's my first reaction. Oh, they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
Well, they're not, because they screwed up at the end of Ohio State and they didn't show up for Louisville. Like, there's regret with that. No doubt about it. I don't think that's the headline of tonight. I think, you get 12 kind of one game seasons, you get 12 Saturdays. And when you win one against your rival, independent of what happens before or after, you celebrate that and you enjoy it. And that's the headline. But yeah, I don't, like, when we look back at the season, whether it is 11-2 or whether it's 8-4 again, I think, when you look under the hood and say, how was this season? Yeah. I mean, tonight was awesome, especially post game, but like, doesn't hold a candle to what this place was for the Ohio State game 3 weeks ago.
Yes, there's no doubt. The atmosphere for that game was, you get that like once every 5 to 10 years.
And it was all there for the taking. Capitalize.
Yeah, it was right
like,
there.
Think about the mindset, the headspace. If you're an Notre Dame player or a diehard fan with 4 minutes left in that game, in this place, on this campus with that week. I mean, anything is possible then.
Yeah, that's beating USC in 2005. That's right. You would have recreated what that could have felt like. But I feel like after tonight, like Notre Dame's, I get it. Notre Dame's not going to make the playoff, and like we're too focused on the playoff sometimes. I with you on all that. If you're like rolling your eyes right now, but I do think tonight like will make this season feel fulfilling.
Yeah, if you win, absolutely.
Yeah. They could lose at Clemson. It could still feel like a fulfilling season. Like, would it be better if they went out? Duh. Yes. But I just think like the season has like some soul to it now, in a way that like not, it wasn't just beating USC. It was demolishing them. And the way that they did it really just, I think gives Marcus Freeman reestablishes his foothold as the head coaches of Notre Dame football in a way that it felt like was a bit tenuous after Louisville. I'm not saying, hot seat, anything, yada, yada, but like it just gives him and the program some stability at a time when like, frankly, they needed it.
Yeah. Much like the Clemson game last year. Now again, year one's always different, but he won that. It's like, all right, this is his moment. He got these guys to regroup after the worst start possible last year. Yeah, like these guys are playing for him. He might just know what he's doing, and his plan might just work. Like, and everyone's behind it, clearly. Yeah. Last week, even after Ohio State game, I don't think people were upset, obviously, but I don't think it was like, burn the building down upset. After last week, it was like, again, like even just, man on the street tailgating today, like a lot of like, all right, Matt, like, is this the guy or not? Like, I've never seen the fan base that tentative with him.
Yeah. I think the fan base was scared.
They wanted
like,
him to succeed.
Cause and you saw the embrace of him afterwards. Like they're chanting, "We love Marcus." And during Sam Hartman's presser, and Sam Hartman was like, "I do too." So that's an enjoyable place for the fan base to believe, but they had to have a moment like tonight to sort of justify that emotion, back up that emotion. And now they have it. So that's all I have on tonight. I don't know if you have any other takeaways before we wrap up our post-game USC live, the independent show.
You made it, Pete. Four straight 7:30 games. Sleep in your own bed tonight. Bye week.
I feel like, and now his watch has ended. It's been quite a run to get through these four And I look, I've still got a couple hours of writing tonight. You got to drive back to Chicago.
I drive. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do something, something tasty on the inside zone tomorrow. I'll have my sort of scene column from here on The Athletic as well. Man, there was just a lot of stuff, tonight to take away. So it should be rich with detail. Cause like you just don't, I know we just had a night like this against Clemson, what, 10 games ago? Seven games ago,
first weekend of November last year.
But yeah. I still contend that you don't get nights like this a whole lot when you're a beat writer for a college football team, and like because it's just like the stars have to align where like a moment rises to the occasion, and the team has to play a certain way, and the fan base has to react a certain way. But it's cool to see. I mean, this is why college football is freaking awesome. Nights like this, they happen all over the country, but tonight we got to be here and in the mosh pit as it was happening all around us.
It was awesome. It's awesome to be able to do another live show with you. Buckle up. It's going to be a fun, I keep saying second half of the season. There's four games left. It's going to be a fun post-bye adventure with this team because you just never know what you're going to get week in and week out. But it was good to see smiles on a lot of people's faces tonight. It was good to see them have a night like this because they desperately needed it after whatever the last 3 weeks were, both for better and for worse. So that's all I got. Anything else from you?
That's it. I think we can wrap it there. After Notre Dame's 48-20 win over USC to move to
6-2
on the season. It only feels like they're 16-2 at this point, or 16-12 or whatever. But it gives Notre Dame a foothold moving forward to the last four games of the season. It'll be fascinating to write about it, to podcast about it with you, Matt, here on The Independent. As always, you can find the show Apple, Spotify, rate, review, 5-star, helps with visibility of the show. You can follow us on YouTube, as many of you did tonight. Please subscribe to that channel. That helps with visibility of the show as well. So Matt and I think we'll be back. We can do a midweek show. We'll find a good guest this week. So until then, he's Matt. I'm Pete. We're both atop Notre Dame Stadium, ready to close the press box down.
We're right next to each other here. Wave to me from that one. There you go.
Yeah. And thanks to everyone for being with us on this live episode of The Independent. Yeah.